Save big at Menards and prepare for the summer heat with a new air conditioner from Denali Air. Quickly and efficiently cool your spaces with auto and eco modes to maximize performance and save on energy costs. Cool your space from anywhere in the room with three cooling speeds and a remote control. Save big money on Denali Air air conditioners. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big money
at Menards. Hello, No Bad Dog Army. Hope that you are so well. This is an episode. It's a great episode about how to kind of restart with your dog training and really figure out what you should be doing, what you shouldn't be doing. This is a dog owner who has an 8-month-old golden retriever that has some stranger danger. She got the dog as a therapy dog prospect. She works in a school and she's having some issues with stranger danger to men specifically. And so we kind of go over if your dog is having problems with a particular thing, these are the protocols that you have to go through in order to regain success with your dog. And so this is going to be awesome for you guys. As you know, I'm going to be out on the road this year. I can't wait to meet you. Australia, New Zealand, England. Everything is linked in the description below. And we have a very exciting course that we're dropping, I think, next week, which is, drum roll, the leash pulling course. Spent a lot of time on it, really developed it, worked weeks on it, making sure I crossed every single T and dotted every I to make sure that if you take this course, you will 100% have a better relationship on the leash with your dog. And that's going to be available, I think, next week. So thank you guys so much for listening. Enjoy the podcast, and we'll talk to you next time. What's going on?
Yes. Okay. So I have an 8-month-old golden retriever. And so he has always been timid. I got him when he was 10 weeks. And I mean, the breeder is really reputable. Like, you know, I had gotten him with the hope of eventually potentially having him be a therapy dog. I'm a school counselor. But obviously knowing that, like, there's no guarantee just because he's a golden that he'll have that temperament. Mm-hmm. But he's really calm. He's, you know, he's low energy. He's really sweet. But he's always been very timid. And I've been, like, socializing him as much as I can since I got him. Mm-hmm. I started bringing him to work with me at around 12 weeks old, and I work in a high school. So just like having him see different genders, races, like, he always was fine interacting with all the students and staff.
Sure.
And then at some point around like 4 or 5 months old, he started getting like, he started barking in the, like, whenever somebody would come into our office, which when I talked to the woman who runs the therapy dog company, that I want to register him through, you know, she said that that's really normal. So I wasn't too concerned about that.
So let me just pause you for a second. So
yes. At
what age, just to clarify, when you're, so when you brought your dog to your office and when people came into the office, your dog would bark and react. What age was that?
I would say that was around 4 months old.
Okay.
So maybe like a month and a half after I had started bringing him to work, because he was around 12 weeks when I started bringing him in.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yep. And to me, it just, you know, like, he barked because, like, he heard the door open. And he's, since the day I brought him home at 10 weeks old, he's always alerted in the house. Like, if he can't see it, but he can hear it. Mm-hmm. So like, even when I would, because I kennel trained him. So when I would get up to let him out to go potty in the middle of the night, like, once he like heard the footsteps, he would start barking. And then once he saw me, he would stop. So, you know, he always kind of had that trait of just like alerting when he can hear, but can't see. So once he saw the students, he would get excited, you know, and like wag his tail. But at first he would just like hear the door open or hear a knock and he would bark. I would say around 5 to 6 months old, he really started to like show, I would say around 5 months old, he really started to show fear of men. And I honestly don't know where it came from. I live in a house with all females. So, you know, I don't have a ton of men to expose him to all the time, but bringing him to work with me, I have male staff members, principals, male students. So I tried to avoid that, like, fear of men, because I had a dog when I was younger that had that. But so at first it started as just like shyness. Like when somebody would want to pet him, he'd shy away. And so like I would help the kids kind of like, okay, don't like I could tell he didn't like being pet over the head. So I was like, just sit down and like, you know, give him chest scratches and you know, he'd be fine with that. It was more of just like a shyness than any kind of reactivity. And I would say about a month and a half ago, when he was around like 7 months old, it started getting worse to the point where like it looks like reactivity to me. I moved out of I was living with an ex-girlfriend, and then I moved out at the end of April and moved into my new house with two female roommates. And he went through an adjustment period, but he did fine. Like it was weird for him to hear more people in the house, but he loves my roommates now. My one roommate has a boyfriend who I'm a good judge of character, and he's never alone with my dog anyways, but like he wouldn't hurt a fly. He's a really sweet guy, like, and he like really likes Charlie, you know. And he's a tall guy, he's like 6'3", but Charlie just like is really, really, really strange with him. And you know, I think a part of it is in the house, because in public he's fine. He doesn't growl. He doesn't do any of that. Sometimes he won't want to interact. If the guy's like, "Can I pet him?" I'll kind of suss it out, and then I'll be like, "Oh, like he does. I'm sorry. Like he's just shy with men." But he's never like growling or barking. It's only in spaces that I think he perceives as his. So I just took him camping up to Mammoth in California, and we had a cabin, him and me. And immediately, you know, his bed is in the cabin. I think he knows like this is my spot right now. And I would walk him outside to go potty. As soon as he would see people, not even on our property, but our neighbors, like men outside of their cabins, he would bark and growl. And not like super nasty, but enough that, you know, it's like it's cons a little bit concerning. And like we were in the car, and we were parking at a trailhead, and you had to pay to park. And I rolled the window down, and it was a male attendant, and he just kind of started going nuts in the back seat, like barking at this man. But I think like the biggest concern right now for me is like, I mean, it's all concerns. Like I think in general, I'm just like, I know he's not this like super problematic dog, but I'm so scared of like using the wrong approach and like not being able to kind of get a lid on this, because it is getting worse over time. But he's really, really bad with my friend's boyfriend. And you know, like there's times where he's okay, like while I'll be in the yard playing fetch and like, you know, but the other day he was just sitting down in the kitchen, and he like Charlie was just walking around. My dog's name is Charlie, and he stood up and just kind of like moved to the chair and stood up. And I think just the abrupt sound and movement, like he like really like barked and snarled, and like I don't want to say he lunged at him, because what he actually did was he like backed up and like fell down, like he was trying to like run away. But it like I jumped, like her boyfriend jumped, like we all were kind of like, what the hell? Like it was a bigger reaction than I had ever seen from him. And so I just am kind of like, and he's been around for, I've lived here since the end of April, and he comes over like three, he spends the night like 3 days a week. Like it's not like he's a new person. One thing I'll also add is that there's two other small dogs in the home normally, and the behavior has been significantly worse over the last 2 to 3 weeks than it ever really has been. And those two dogs are not here right now because they're my roommates, and she's out of town on a road trip, so they're staying with her parents. And I do think Charlie is like the type to like kind of mimic, not mimic, but like I think he feels more confident with other dogs around. Like even the first time I took him to the beach, he was always terrified of the water. And then when he made a friend and the dog ran in, Charlie ran in right after him. So just like stuff like that. So part of me wondered if it's just like he's the only dog in the house now. But either way, like that's kind of like the general description of what's going on. But his reaction really kind of like, I don't want to say it scared me, because I don't think he didn't like lunge or try to bite or anything, but it was worse than anything I'd ever seen from him. And I kind of just like don't really know how to handle it at this point.
Sure. Okay. So would you say that your biggest concern would be the reaction to men, or just the reaction to people coming into your office, or both?
Yeah, I think both. Like I think in general the reaction to men is probably my highest concern, just because again, if I can't bring him to work with me, if he is not ready to be a therapy dog, like that's okay. But also I would like for him to like this territorial reactivity or whatever it is, like it's not great for me because I want to be able to take him camping and not have my dog barking and growling. And right now he's an 8-month-old puppy, so people are kind of just like, oh, what are you gonna do? Like, just, like teasing. But at a certain point, it might get to the point where people are scared of him and like don't want to, be around us.
Okay. So when you say therapy dog, what's the goal, what's the end goal with the therapy dog work?
Yeah, so the end goal would be, and it would be, so Facility Dog is the program that I'm hoping to get into. So coming to work with me like maybe 3 days a week, doing some, being like kind of an emotional support for the kids.
Okay.
There's like different ways he can get involved, kind of being in like pep rallies. Like he was in a little, because my principal, we have like insurance. So even though he's not registered right now, because he obviously is too young to do the actual program, he lets him come in and like just be a part of some stuff. So like the kids did like a relay race a while back, and like a part of it was like give Charlie a high five because he knows the high five command. And
Yep.
so just like stuff like that, like being there for, it's just like a positive force in the school and interacting with some of the kids when they just like need a break or want to get some like dopamine boost from petting the dog.
And he's good with the kids.
He is, yeah. He's been more selective the way he's getting, like when he's getting older. He has, I call him his Charlie fan club. Like kids who have been coming to see him pretty regularly since I started to bring him in. Some of those are boys and he's totally fine. I think he knows them. There have been times where a couple newer kids come in the office that are boys and Charlie doesn't want to interact. So again, that's where I'm like, it might just be that he's not cut out to be a therapy dog, but he used to really like interacting with all the kids. Primarily, it's the teenage boys, like the taller ones, in my opinion at least, like some of my bigger kids, like the juniors and seniors that he
Yeah.
doesn't really want to be near.
Yeah. So it seems to me it's just a it's a fear towards men because he's not around a lot of men, it seems like. Well, I shouldn't say that. That may not be the reason why it's happening. It
Yeah.
just doesn't help, right? So
Right.
if a dog is, let's say if it's just like with humans, like if we have a suspicion or a slight fear towards something that we're not around often, it's not going to make it any better. Where if we had a fear towards something that we around a lot, we would likely get over it faster, or at least identify the reasons and a good roadmap. So my
Right.
suggestion would be to so when you're dealing with at this age, at 8 month, the 8 month mark, I mean, it sounds like you had a conversation with the breeder, which I would have done to say, hey, is this normal? Have you seen
Yeah.
this in the other puppies? Have you seen, whatever? And if they say no, it is, I mean, it does happen where you get, and I mean, that this is how I have these conversations, is they say, yeah, my puppy's the only one out of the litter that X, Y, and Z. It's like, it does happen.
Yeah. Yep.
Somebody does draw that straw sometimes. And
Yeah.
so what I would do is there's a lot of obedience that I would be working on to help manage the situation, but more than that, it would be exposure and positive reinforcement. So for me, it would be really working on exposing him to these male figures. And so like your roommate's boyfriend, I believe, I would be working on things like having him spend time with him, having Charlie spend time with this person if applicable, doing things like hand feeding, right? So giving another person who feels comfortable, or maybe even an older, it depends like how his fear is. If it's really bad and he's really trying to get away from, especially a kid at the school, you wouldn't do that. But if you have men in his life that he can, take the leash and just walk away and just do some food payments for, and really just, it sounds to me like the dog is like, I don't really know about this guy, whatever, whoever it is. I'm unsure of it. And if you can break the ice with every single guy that Charlie meets for the next couple months, gives him food, you can kind of reverse engineer and what we call counter condition the response. So every time somebody, so here's what I would do is because if he's a well-bred golden retriever that has good genetics, both physically and behaviorally, it could be just the lack of exposure. So we get too much of one thing and not enough of the other thing. Now, that again, right. that shouldn't matter, frankly. That shouldn't matter.
Yeah.
A dog who has never seen a female or a male ever shouldn't be afraid of them. So it's not an excuse, because personally, that's not a thing. Unless they have had a bad experience, that shouldn't ever be a thing. That's not a thing.
Yeah.
So humans are humans to dogs, typically. Like, again, unless they've had bad experiences, then they know tall guys with hats and beards, not good. They do these things to me. They make me feel this way, etc.
Right.
So right now, I would be really working on counter conditioning. And so
okay.
It would be inviting people into your office, men in particular, if you can, and just putting a cookie jar, or here's what I would do is I would go out and say, hey, can you come in 5 minutes? Can you come in 10 minutes? Can you come in 15 minutes? Can you come in? And you give them all a treat. And when they yeah. walk in, they just, hey, Charlie. And then they just hold out their hand, and then he comes up and gets paid. One thing you can do okay. to help, one thing that you can do to help facilitate this is have him on a leash, bring him over to the person, and then he knows, like, oh, I smell food. They get a piece of food. They do it a couple times, and then they leave. And I would just be doing this with his kibble, so he doesn't get, issues with his stomach, because it's going to be a lot of payment. So even if, and again, depending on what you can do, even with your roommate's boyfriend, just say, like, when you come in, here's his bowl of food. I want you to take kibble out and pay him. So this way, when men come in, he goes, ooh, I'm going to get paid. Ooh, I'm going to get paid. Ooh, I'm going to get paid. So you kind of reverse engineer this whole process.
Mm-hmm.
And this works great for dogs who are just on that verge of, I'm not an aggressive dog. I would never bite anybody. I'm just unsure of this.
Right.
Sometimes it happens with other dogs. Sometimes it happens with race. Sometimes it happens with gender. Sometimes it happens with environments. So like the grates or cones or mailboxes or just things that don't make any sense, and you have to create a better association with it.
Right.
So that's the first thing I would start doing.
Okay.
Is really just, I would fast him. So if you know you're going to be around other men that day, I wouldn't feed him breakfast. Mm-hmm. I would fill your treat pouch with it and say, hey, I want you to just walk around and pay him with this. So okay. essentially every single time that he sees a man, instead of him going, oh, I don't know about this, you want him to go, ooh, food. That means food. This guy means food.
Right.
Dogs can, interesting enough, like dogs can definitely detect genders. It just is never typically, again, to reiterate, a problem unless they've had a bad experience with a gender, right? So really, it's just about saying, hey, this isn't scary. And again, it's I don't know. It's just a strange thing that would happen. But anyway, that's what I would work on in the beginning. In conjunction with that, what a lot of people struggle with is having a good foundation. And so if you have a dog that quite literally does anything that you don't love, whether it's barking, pulling on the leash, mm-hmm. Jumping on guests, counter surfing, not coming back when all these things, you're never going to be able to really accomplish your goals with your dog unless you actually, right. unless you actually teach them what you want to do. They're not just going to all of a sudden go, you know what? I'm not going to do this today.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that's very unlikely. So I wouldn't be holding your breath for that. So things that are going to be helpful in the office is, and this is a common mistake people have, is having the dog off leash. And so what that means is essentially you're giving the dog too much freedom when it hasn't been earned. But a better word for earned is not necessarily, because earned is kind of like, I don't know, it sounds a little bit like you don't earn to be off leash. And it's more about he hasn't proven to you that he can handle being off leash. Okay.
Right.
So
right.
let's say you're in your office, somebody comes in and he gets suspicious and barks and does his roof roof and backs up and gets all nervous. Well, if he's off leash, two things is you can't help him through the situation with corrections, leash pressure, and clarity. But the other the other thing is now you're fumbling to get a hold of him, and now you're just playing like defense and a quarterback. Like you're just blocking. Oh, no, it's okay. Just, yeah, okay. What do you need? Okay, yep, just put it on my desk. Okay, yeah, bye. Like that's chaos, right? And that's not going to help you at all. It actually make it worse because now you're reacting to the person coming in. So somebody comes in, he goes, hey, there's somebody here. Bark, bark, bark. And then you react. So now you're double downing on, yep, this is a problem. Obviously, it's unintentional from you, but the dog doesn't see it like that. When they bark, then you react. He's like, ah, it's validated. This is a problem. This person is suspicious. This person shouldn't be here. Versus having him on a leash. And when somebody comes in and he barks and you pop the collar and you say, hey, leave it, knock it off, stop, calmly.
Okay.
You have control, you have clarity, you have communication, you have everything. Everything is in your hands, right? Like you are controlling the narrative here. And that's what you want. I mean, think about with even kids. I mean, obviously you work with kids, so it's the same thing. Like you don't want to say, hey, this is a big problem. I want you to deal with it. No, you're a juvenile human and an adult should probably be assertive here and take control, right? Like there's a fire in the building. Let's ask the first graders what they should do. No, right? That's kind of what you're doing, right? Like a person comes in, your dog goes, oh, stranger danger, there's an alarm. What do we do? And you're just like, yeah, figure it out. So again, unintentionally, but that's what you're doing if you're scrambling and you're trying to grab the leash and collar and telling them to shh and stop and it's okay. It's just English teacher Jim. Like it's fine. Like all that stuff is going to make it worse where you really want less is more. You want to be very calm, cool, and collective. The moment that he starts to bark, you say, hey, knock it off. Leave it. He stops barking. Good, leave it. You give him a little piece of food. You hand the leash off to the colleague that comes in and say, hey, you give him a piece of food if applicable. And so, and what I say by applicable is some people are going to be like, can I please help? And other people are going to be like, why is your dog barking at me? I'm leaving. So you can pick and you can pick and choose. You can pick and choose there. But that's really what you want to do is really recreate a better experience around these things that he's fearful of. And in this case, it's going to be men. And on the flip side to that, it's also going to be making sure that you set him up for success. And so right now, if he's running around your office with his head cut off, barking at people and roofing, and you're just managing and saying, oh, and you're just trying to get a sentence in, that's a dumpster fire, right? Put your leash on your dog, start working on being assertive, correcting him, quit the crap. This is appropriate. This isn't appropriate. And then the other thing would be, the third thing would be your obedience. So obedience, think of obedience as communication with dogs.
Yeah.
If you don't have good communication with your dog, you are not able to help your dog through scenarios. So let's say for an example, the communication that would work or the obedience that would work and be applicable in this circumstance would be somebody comes into your office, Charlie's laying down, whatever. You say, go to your bed. Down, boop, stay. So you've immediately put him into a position to keep you, your dog, your colleague coming in to success, right? So that is obedience. But again, think of obedience as communication. So it's like, hey, I'm having a really hard time with my colleague here. They speak a different language. It's like, okay, well, that's probably going to happen. I mean, if you can't communicate with this other person, there's a good chance you're not going to be able to get shit done. You know what I mean?
Right.
So think about that. You really need to audit the back end. Like, okay, you know, Charlie's disposition is this. These things are happening. But when they do happen, I have absolutely zero ability to communicate with my dog. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
No, absolutely it does. And that's one thing that, like, I was wondering if I should start so I've heard the rumor that, like, good golden retrievers turn, like, 8 or 9 months old. Like, they're much more difficult to continue your obedience with. And I was thinking about getting him into my advanced obedience class because we did obedience school. And I feel okay. So I have a couple questions. So that's one big reason that I wanted to talk to you is because like there's so much conflicting information on when dogs are scared or alerting, if there should be a correction or if it should only be like positive, like, you know, because reminding them that it's okay. And like, so you would recommend like if he does bark to give him a quick correction, pop the collar, right?
Yes.
Okay.
So there's yeah, yes. Essentially, when you correct the dog, our goal is they're doing something we don't want them to do, and we're trying to show them what we want them to do differently. So what is a correction, right? It's to say it's a disruption, it's punitive, it's accountability. So the dog starts barking. The dog starts doing inappropriate things, right? Just like with a kid. They start drawing on the wall. They start running around with a knife, scissors. They start eating soap, right? We, as humans, I should say adults, our jobs is to correct the thing that they're doing because it's not okay. Sometimes it's life or death, sometimes it's annoyance, and sometimes it's just being a good parent to teach the kid what or the dog what to do. And so immediately after that, so we say, leave it correction. So with a co in the cor so the it really gets granular to like what type of correction, right? And it depends. It all depends on your relationship. It all depends on the age. It all depends on the breed. It all depends on the environment. It all depends on all your training. It's very variant. But generally, the umbrella is correction, which means disrupt, stop what you're doing. And then the moment thereafter, if they do make a good decision, we then our jobs is to then pay them. Hey, put down the scissors. They put it down. Good. Come over here and get a gummy treat, whatever. Right? So yes, the answer is when your dog is barking or reacting, it would be a verbal cue of leave it, right? So stop this. I'm telling you right now, leave it. And then the moment that they blow past that or say no or flip you off and ignore you, you then assert yourself with a correction to say, hey, there is follow-up if you don't listen.
And then and then I would obviously reward him when he listens. If here's where I struggle with that, like if he doesn't listen, and this is where even in obedience school, I'm like I you know, like fully take accountability. Like I'm sure that there's a lot I could tweak with the way that I do obedience with him. But one thing I really struggle with is keeping him in heel. And I remember asking my obedience instructors, like, I can't just keep like popping him on the collar like 50 times. Like, 'cause first of all, for him, he actually does respond more to a verbal cue. Like if I do like a ah, like he's much more likely to turn around and like come back to my side than if I pop his collar. I don't know if it's a thick golden retriever fur, but he doesn't seem bothered by it at all. But that's something that like I was struggling with was I was like, well, there is no opportunity for praise because he's really not, you know, like every now and then I'm like, and so because that's what I've been struggling with, particularly in the home. In the office, I think it's a little different, but in our house, like we'll be like, you know, hanging out in my room, like laying in bed or whatever at night, and like somebody will come home late and he'll hear the door and he'll like start, you know, keep barking and growling, and I'll keep trying to correct him, and then but he doesn't stop for long enough for me to give him a praise. So that's kind of another question I had is like when like how much is too much? Because again, there's so and that's part of the reason that I like your page and like follow you is because I feel like there's a lot of trainers out there that would recommend never using e-collars or any type of like what they would consider like a negative correction and positive only, but I don't feel like that works with Charlie. So, but I also don't want to just be correcting him too much and like not giving enough praise. So kind of like if he's not listening to me and he's not coming back to me, like what does that look like?
So it so for rec are you talking about pr in particular recall?
Mostly, yeah, like anything that I'm like, if I don't happen to have his leash because like we're in the house and like somebody came home, like I don't know when, know when my roommates are gonna come and go, and he won't come, he won't do a stay, he won't stop barking, whatever kind of that is.
Yeah, it's a good question. So a couple things is like I was saying before is you have to, so that's a skill set. So you have to practice the skill set before you ask for it.
Right. Okay.
So does that make sense? So when you're saying,
Yes.
Charlie, I want you to come, if he doesn't know what that is and you haven't practiced it, he's not going to do it.
Right. Yeah.
So
And I,
that
yeah.
recall of come back to me is something like a kid, red, green, blue, A, B, C, 1, 2, 3, all of that is practice, skill sets, understanding. And so when you apply, okay, now we're going to say our ABCs, or now we're going to do recall, unless you practice it, they have no idea what it is.
Yeah, and for him, I think that's probably it's probably a good idea for me to get into the advanced class because I think he does it. He's fine. He knows it. It's when there's like a distraction or there's like a kind of a greater distance between us or there's not like that's where I feel like I kind of lose him. I'm like, I don't even know what come is, and you're not doing it though because whatever you're looking at, you're so locked in at that he like can't break it, even when we're on a walk sometimes, you know, like he'll lock in on another dog and he loves dogs. He wants to go play, but like that's where I struggle with him.
Yeah, and so there's, and just to give you context, as a dog trainer, when you're asking your dog to recall, there's a lot of steps, right? So it's first, do they know the behavior? If the answer is
Yeah.
no, it stops right there. There is no further conversation. You can't complain about it. You can't ask for it. You can't get upset when your dog doesn't do it. Period. Just full
Right.
stop. Done. The second thing is, yeah, we've worked on it a little bit. Okay. Now you're working on it outside. So let's say your dog knows recall inside. Now you're working on it outside. If your dog has not done recall outside, you can't complain about it. Full stop. It's done. It's over with. They don't know it. It's not applicable. Okay. And then the third
Right.
thing is, now we're going to be doing this outside around other dogs. Okay. Have you practiced recall? Yeah. Have you practiced it outside? Yeah, I've done it. Have you practiced it outside around other dogs? No. Done. Full stop. Can't ask for it. Don't complain about it because you don't have it. Right. The
Gotcha.
fourth, then there's a fourth layer of off leash. Right. So we've done it inside. We've done it around other dogs. And now we're asking the dog to do it completely off leash, which are four different layers. Right. Four different steps you have to do and you have to master. And that's what dog owners don't understand is you unintentionally, of course, are saying, I want my dog to come back off leash outside with playing with other dogs, which is Yoda shit. Yoda. I would say 1 out of 100 people, one out of 70 people could recall their dog in a play group off leash. With just a word. Very, very unlikely that people can do that. What we typically do is dog come, come on, let's go. Squeak, 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 come on, let's go. Treat, 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 come on. We start walking over, come on, let's go. The dog looks at us, looks the other way, come on, get, oh, and there's like this process, get back, no, get, and they start walking, and then they grab the collar, come on, and then they pull the dog away, the dog runs back, and they're playing tug of war. It's this whole thing, right? That's typically how that goes. But again, there's a lot of things that go into that. There's genetics. Some dogs are just like, sure, I'll come back. I love you. I don't care. You know, these dogs, I don't really care about too much. I was just kind of bored, right? So there is a whole process in this. And so I just want you to really understand and audit that process, right? So you as a dog owner, and this happens, you know, I talk to dog owners about this every day all over the world, is I want my dog to come back off leash. It's yo, I'm telling you, it's like level three dog training. Like it's 3 out of 3. You have to have like masterful. The dog said the dog knows what recall is. They know that they could get in trouble if they don't listen, and they know that there's likely going to be a reward when they do come back for them. And so you have to practice those things first. That's all it is. So anyway,
As
just so you know.
yeah. No, that's good to know. As far as one question I had, because you know, obviously, you know, before I'm Googling everything and trying to figure things out on my own, like one thing that was recommended was that, and other golden retriever owners who have maybe had like some reactive dogs, have told me like to keep him like in, like take him to dog parks, socialize, like have him be in like socialization groups. And he always did socialization groups, and I've got a few friends with dogs that Charlie loves dogs. Like he's annoyingly loves dogs, and that's why I don't take him to dog parks anymore, because he doesn't always read the social cues that dogs give him, and he did get attacked once. So, but he does go to socialization groups. And it's funny, he used to be terrified of dogs and he loved people, and now I feel like it's switched, and he's like super, super confident with any with most dogs he meets. Like every now and then he'll meet a dog who like he starts with his tail between his legs. But like, is that something that's helpful? Because he's too big for the puppy one now, so I would have to get him into adult one, and they're just a little bit harder to find. But I'm willing to do it. But I'm also kind of like, I don't know that socialization with other dogs is going to help his like whatever he's got going on with men and with new people. But yeah, like what do you think?
What's the question? Is the play groups okay? Is that the question? Are the play?
No, like is the play groups like actually helpful
Okay.
for
Yep.
improving his overall confidence with people?
Yep. So, well, it sounds to me, my first reaction is a dog play group is going to be for dog interactions.
Yes,
Now,
exactly.
yes, there is going to be some sort of encounters with people, because the obviously the people have, the dogs, right? Like, so, but it's so y yes, but it depends, right? So let's paint a picture. You go to a play group, okay? And in that play group, there's a bunch of let's say there's a bunch of there's a bunch of different dogs there, right? And then their owners are there. So you go to the play group, you go in, your dog Charlie just starts playing with the other dogs, everything's good. And then now the owners, it depends. Like it's just like with kids and people. It's like, hey, if I gave this student to this teacher, would they do good? It's like it actually is not predicated off of the student or Charlie. It's predicated off of what that teacher does and what that person does. Because if you get a bunch of dog owners that are just like talking and having a good time and disengaging with the dogs and letting dogs be dogs, it's probably going to be fine. It'd probably be a good experience for them.
Right.
If not, then if dog owners are trying to play with Charlie and interact with Charlie, which is unlikely, I would say. I think people who bring dogs to these play groups are good. So I would say it's good.
Yeah.
I would say it's good as long as it's a good experience. And that's why, like,
Okay.
I love the idea of dog parks. It's like a public pool. Do not complain when shit happens, because you don't know anything about any other dog. You don't know anything about
Exactly.
any other person. And oh, and by the way, when there is a dog fight or when there is massive diarrhea and sickness going on, you have to basically be quiet because you brought your dog to the public dog park. And tough cookies,
Yeah,
because the
exactly.
person traveling through your town that Googled dog park doesn't give a shit about anything, right?
Right.
So anyway, yeah, I don't know. That's my two cents
Okay.
on it.
No,
So
no, that makes sense.
I think it's good. I think it sounds like it's a good experience. As long as Charlie isn't getting overwhelmed and hasn't and is having a good time, then yeah, it's probably good.
Okay, so when I talked to the breeder about it, she did say like, she was like, to my knowledge, like none of the other puppies are like experiencing anything like that. Even when I got him, like I was like, oh my God, he's really struggling with crate training. Like he's like super anxious in the car. And she was like, he was never like that. Like she had taken him, because she runs a service dog and therapy dog training program. So like a big part of kind of her whole thing is that like she breeds dogs with temperaments to like, be service or therapy dogs. And she partners with like an elderly home for people with Alzheimer's. And so, she had brought Charlie there a few times, like, had different people hold him like before I picked him up. And she was like, he was fine. So I just thought like, okay, maybe it's just like his new environment and he's got to kind of start over a little bit. But he always was like really sensitive and like you know, just so anyway, so I called my breeder and I kind of told her what was going on, and I was like, I'm really concerned. And she did offer to take him for 3 weeks and do kind of like a little board and train. And she broke it down for me with like, you know, because she's got little kids and a husband at home. And she was like, I think it would be helpful for him to like, she's like, all of my friends have husbands on my street. She's like, we can like have them come over and do like a lot of like positive experiences with them and like teach them that like not only are men not scary, but they're fun. And she said like the first week they would just do like confidence building in the home, like introduce them to some men. The second week they would do like going out and about, and like interacting with new men there. And she has a service dog card, so she's like, I can bring them anywhere that I go with me. And then I can't remember the third week, she said they would focus on like more like obedience stuff and kind of like reintroduce like men in the home again. And like and then she said she would bring him back to the elderly home as long as he's not barking and growling. So just kind of like something that she offered for me. And I've heard conflicting opinions on like board and trains and this type of stuff. And like some people, I mean, I think the conflicting opinions come from some people think that like they're just like trainers who don't actually like do anything and don't actually work with the dogs. I've heard everything. I've heard people say like my trainer didn't end up like doing anything. Some people have said like it doesn't really matter because if you're not there to do it with your dog, like they're going to come back to you and probably have to start from square one. But then I'm thinking like, well, if it's more about exposure to men like in kids, because he does, you know, I work with high schoolers and he's fine with little kids, but I think they frighten him a bit. Like when, you know, I take him to parks to people watch, and I, you know, there's a kids kind of like a kids park that we'll often set up a blanket at, and they're always like chasing each other around, screaming on the playground to show him that like this is normal, this is what kids do. But he's just like a timid, like I think easily startled dog. So, you know, just that was something that I was thinking about. Just I think because she naturally has these people that I, it's hard for me to like find men. I literally went to Home Depot the other day, like, where can I try to find a bunch of men? And I did something similar, like a couple of guys that might have come up and like, do you want to give him a treat? Like, we're working on like,
Perfect,
you
yeah.
know, his being friends with men. And they were like, yeah. But anyway, so like, it's something that I mean,
Yeah.
I'm thinking about, but I also don't know like how trainers generally feel about that type of stuff.
So to me, to me, it's like, hey, would you go to a Mexican restaurant? I'm like, depends. Like, is it a good one? You know what I mean? Like,
Yeah.
I don't know this person. I don't know if they're good. I don't know if,
Right.
you know, what they would do would, to me, it would be personally, and this is just me personally. If I was going through this with a dog, I would want my breeder to take the dog for free and try to develop skill sets with the dog. Like,
Yeah.
for sure. Like, that would be expected from me to say, hey, I have this dog and I'm not really getting the particular temperament that I was looking for and that you breed, by the way, that you breed for.
Right.
And yeah, if you want to take him to try to, you know, build confidence and do all those things and you're a professional, great, then yeah, that would be good. But if they're like, we'll do a board and train, we'll charge you a bunch of money and we'll do all these things. I mean, yeah, it might be worth it, but at the same time, like the breeder, in my opinion, should be doing that for free because she bred you a dog for a temperament that you're actually not getting.
Right, yeah, 100%.
So is she charging you for that?
She is, yeah.
How much, if you don't mind me asking?
Yeah, so she said it's $900, so $300 per
Oh,
week.
that's okay. Yeah, that's reasonable. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, that's what I was thinking too, 'cause and like part of the reason too,
Yeah,
I'm
that's
going to be
fair.
out of town for 12 days for going I'm go just going home for my family vacation that I do every year. So my doggy sitters would have had to take him anyways, which would have costed me like $650 with the tips. So I'm kind of like, eh, I get him hopefully like working on some skills. So yeah, she is charging me, but it's not super outlandish.
Yeah. No, that's great. I would, yeah, that would take advantage
Okay.
of that. 'Cause that's just like, yeah,
Okay.
that's super
Yeah.
fair.
And I do I do think I may have just gotten like, the unique one of the litter. Like she really, I'm not normally like a breeder dog person. I'm always just like adopt, don't shop. And like, I was like beating myself up a little bit over getting a golden retriever, but she does have a really, I think she's a really good program. Like they donate a dog out of every litter to like some service dog training program in the country. One of mine from, that's actually how I got their name in San Diego. We have a team, a company called Positive Teams, who I'm going to try to certify Charlie through when I want him to be a facility dog. And they had like mentioned it. And so they do a lot of like work with like people with disabilities and she's like certified and I checked into her certification. So I'm like, I want to believe that like I met both the parents. They were both super, the dog parents, they're both super sweet. I hung out with them for like an hour when I first met the litter. So I want to believe that like she is a good trainer and a good person and can do a good job with him.
Yeah, I think that that's fair.
Okay. Okay. I think that kind of covered. Oh, I think one thing. So at home, when the boyfriend is around, because like we'll all be home, and like I said, it's super. He's just, it's super strange. Like he was told, like sometimes he'll walk over to Sam, especially like if he's sitting down or something, like that's one thing that like, we work on too, is like the one day he laid down and let him give him belly rubs. Like if Sam was laying on the couch, Charlie walked over and went up to him. And he was, at that point, they're like eye level, cause he's laying down on his back and he was letting him pet his face and scratch his chest. And so they've had a lot of positive interactions, but in general, like there's times we're all just like standing around, like they're cooking in the kitchen or something. And Charlie is like coming and going. Is there anything you would recommend? Like, should I kennel him if he seems fearful? Should I leash him? Like, kind of just to avoid instances where he gets super frightened.
I mean, like I said, the more you can restrict him from making bad decisions and not giving him freedom when he hasn't proven to you that he can make good decisions is okay. So keeping him on the leash, and like I said before, just handing him off to the your roommate's boyfriend would be a good idea as well. Yep, you could do that.
Okay, perfect. All right, anything else that you can think of? I feel like that's all my
No,
questions.
I think like I said in the beginning, the three pillars would be having good obedience, not giving him too much freedom, and then building confidence through better experiences. All that stuff is going to be like the key pillars there for sure.
Okay, yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's really strange because I think, I don't know, like the it must be like lack of exposure because I'm like an insane dog mom. He's never been like, he has a couple dog sitters, but thinking about it, I'm like, they are all female. I probably should have gotten a male dog sitter, a dog walker, but I didn't really think about it because I was like, oh, I'm bringing him to work with me. He's my principal and all the male teachers and stuff. But I think in the home or in spaces he perceives as his. He's never really had a man around until I moved in here and had my friend's boyfriend. So, so hopefully I can get him through that.
I think that you got to start with all those things and just try to make better experiences and yeah, good luck with everything.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Tom. I really appreciate it.
All right, you're welcome. Good luck.
Okay, thank you.
You're
Bye.
welcome. Bye.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again. You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.